From our 901 Mission Street studios, you are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle.
I'm Peter Hartlaw, pop culture critic of the San Francisco Chronicle, here with senior digital A&E editor Maricar Mendoza. Welcome, Maricar.
Hey, happy to be here.
You interviewed Jimmy O. Yang, I'm jealous, in your hometown of San Jose?
Yes, it was quite fun. We were there for Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. Macy's is doing this nationwide celebration throughout the month of May, and Jimmy happened to be the guest over the weekend. And we were on the second floor of Macy's at Westfield Valley Fair, which was really surreal for me because I'm pretty sure I got my homecoming dress there senior year of high school.
Very nice. That's a good connection there. Jimmy O. Yang is, I think he's funny. He plays a lot of offbeat characters in a way that I wouldn't know what to expect from him during the interview. What was he like in real life?
Yeah, I felt the same way. I wasn't sure if he was going to turn on and be Bernard from Crazy Rich Asians or Jin Yang of Silicon Valley. But in real life, yeah, he was really down to earth, super chill. We talked a lot about basketball. He's a Clippers fan, so he knew not to really talk about that in front of the, you know, Dub Nation or anything. But he was really fine. We talked about food and just kind of prepped for our conversation about Asian representation.
A couple of notes. The sound level, I noticed, is just a little bit low.
Yeah, we were recording in a Macy's fitting room. but yeah, that was backstage. They called it the green room before we went on stage for the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month event that he was actually here for. And then later on, the next day, he kicked off his latest stand-up tour.
And one more thing, Maricar. I'm going to rate this one PG-13. A couple bad words, low-grade bad words, probably not something that people haven't heard before, but usually we're a PG podcast, and a couple bad words here, so you've been warned.
To be expected with a comedian, right?
Absolutely. I thought it was going to go a lot darker. Datebook Podcast, thanks for listening.
Growing up in the Silicon Valley, I know, like, I don't know what it looks like behind the doors there. I mean, I grew up in the Silicon Valley before it was called the Silicon Valley.
Right.
And so, but how often do you actually hang out here in the Silicon Valley?
I do make an effort, like, for research and stuff. I went to Facebook a couple of times, went to Google, and then last year, I asked HBO to kind of set up a little tour of mid-size, small-size, and big-size companies, so I get to visit Lyft when it was still kind of medium-sized compared to like a Google. And then I went to the new Facebook campus, which is like the massive one. And I tried out the Oculus when they were like, you know, trying out some new games. It was super awesome, really fun. Saw Mark Zuckerberg actually in one of those glass offices. And then the really interesting one was I met with some VCs and like some startup guys, and they took me into like a incubator, and it was really, really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I've never been on any of those campuses, actually.
Really?
And Apple, I don't know, you weren't there yesterday because Lady Gaga was at the Apple campus here in Cupertino.
Really?
Yeah. I could have sworn you would have been invited, man.
I'm a huge fan of Lady Gaga. Like, huge. You don't even know.
Oh. Like, how huge?
Like, big. I know every album, every song.
Oh, I'm surprised
and,
you
I don't Apple. Buy albums. I would go buy her physical albums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. What are your impressions of Silicon Valley, and like, how do they differ or similar to the way you guys portray it in the show?
I did some research myself, but our writers and everything, I think Dick Costello was one of our consultants and writers a couple seasons ago. So they do amazing work and portray very accurately, or at least from what people have told me. You know, some people have told me like that work in Silicon Valley, they're like, I can't watch this show because it's too real. It's giving me like PTSD. You know, which is good, which is a compliment, I guess. But yeah, it's pretty accurate, and obviously it's a lot of things are heightened. But I've seen characters like Jing Yang on the Facebook campus. You know, I've seen maybe not as diabolical, but you know the mannerisms and things like that. It's almost like whenever I think, oh, am I playing this too big, or is this like too far-fetched of a character to play, and then you see people like that in Silicon Valley, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it, it's real.
speaking of that role, I mean, I was obviously in the time of this industry where, you know, people are calling for more representation, mm-hmm. fair representation. How do you feel about the roles that you've played from Jin Yang to, you know, Tyler, Life of the Party?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Bernard.
I mean,
those are kind of, that's a lot in terms of Asian American roles that range for an Asian man. Like,
yeah.
How do you think about representation and the roles that you've played?
I used to try to not think about it. I just try to play the best I could, you know, go kill the audition so at least we can, like Tyler, the role in Life of the Party, didn't have to be an Asian guy.
Right.
He was just like a regular boyfriend of a girlfriend, you know. And it was a fun role, but honestly, I had way more fun playing Jing Yang and Bernard because they're like kind of bigger, larger than life characters. And I just love kind of diving into those characters to a degree that people might not even recognize me when they see me in real life. Like, it's a total different change, and I love that as an actor. But I do get it. I think, first of all, we need more representation, you know, of all characters. And then, second of all, we need more positive representation, at least three-dimensional characters. The first season, I think, or first couple of seasons, there were some, I think, what do you call that? People thought Jing Yang was kind of like stereotypical and he's not really doing Asian people any favors. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's funny, like to me. And then he got developed into more of a three-dimensional character that, and now I think all those complaints are going away. And at the end of the day, it's like the whole same argument with Apu. If you have a broad range of 100 Indian or Asian representations, then you wouldn't just, you know, harp on this one, you know, good or bad representation of it. You know?
And I guess that was the issue, right? Was that it was so rare to see. So when you saw it and you saw it in that particular stereotypical,
that was it.
Yeah. But now.
Now, I mean, even just looking at Crazy Rich Asians, that was so fun because people could say if Bernard is the only Crazy Rich Asians, they're like, oh, you guys are trying to make all Asians look like assholes, you know, whatever playboys that are, you know, just into partying, right? That could be a negative. But because Crazy Rich Asians, the entire movie is an Asian cast, you have your super good-looking, sexy leading man Asians, the funny Asians, you know, the kind of larger-than-life Asians, the sweet Asians, the dark Asians, and it's awesome, you know, because I can just focus on acting instead of representing by myself, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, what do you think needs to be done to keep that kind of momentum going now that it's been a year after Crazy Rich Asians?
And, yeah.
You know, how do we make sure that Hollywood doesn't kind of go back?
Well, I think Crazy Rich Asians served as just opening a door, and that's great, you know? And now people are listening because it's proven that Asian people can make money. So that's what studios care about at the end of the day. And there is a bigger diversity push and everything. So at least our ideas are getting listened to. So I think now it's up to us, the artists, the Asian artists, or diverse artists of any culture, creed, to just tell our authentic stories and tell it well. And I think that's more important than anything, you know, because the great thing about Crazy Rich Asians, it was a universal story that everybody could understand about family, about class. And the main thing that made it authentic, you might not know like any Crazy Rich Asians billionaires, but it's like John Chu and Kevin Kwan, they took you into Middle Earth. They took you in another world, but the themes are absolutely universal. But at the end of the day, it's an authentic story. So I always just like to encourage people to, you know, be authentic, tell the stories instead of just Chinese people in Chinatown with dragons and kung fu. Tell your own authentic Crazy Rich Asian story, whereas that's growing up in San Jose, growing up in Hong Kong or whatever. And now it's a good opportunity because the door has been opened. And, of course, hopefully the audience will keep going to watch the movies and tuning into our shows, you know.
Speaking of Crazy Rich Asians, you guys are doing sequels? One, two?
I hope, yeah, I think right? So. I think they greenlit the second one, at least. They're writing it, to my knowledge, yeah.
Can you tell us anything?
I don't know anything. They haven't wrote anything. People, I mean, they're writing it. Same thing with Silicon Valley. That like they're writing it right now. We're going to shoot in June, and I think it comes out the end of the year. Silicon Valley. But yeah, it's in the writing process. I don't go in the writer's room. I don't know. I can't tell you. Even if you literally waterboard me, I can't tell you.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to waterboard you. Speaking of roles fresh off the boat.
Uh-huh.
So renewal.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're going to see more of Horace?
I don't know. I would love to keep doing that, you know? I love that part. I love that show.
That's pretty hilarious to how you are the mentor to.
Oh, I love it. He's kind of like the shitty Asian kid in a way, but yet he still went to Harvard. That it was a really interesting role. I loved it. I mean, Constance and Randall, they're such good friends. Even the kids, like me and Hudson's dad's been friends, you know, and Hudson's awesome. And then the other two kids, even the grandma, Lucille Song, amazing, amazing people.
Speaking of, your co-star, Constance Wu from Crazy Rich Asians and from Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah, yeah.
I know she's been in headlines lately about her Twitter and all that stuff. And there was a misunderstanding about the renewal of Fresh Off the Boat and her reaction to it. What is your take on that drama? Do you have a take on that drama?
She's always been really nice to me, you know, and that's her own thing, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, you use social media. Mm-hmm. I've checked it out. You had that Snapchat filter where the gender swap.
Oh, yeah.
You're a pretty hot chick.
I am, right? I looked at it. I'm like, oh, my God.
This Do you have a sister? Because that's what
I
she would
don't.
Look like.
My parents should make one.
Well, so how do you use your platform and like, how do you like using to your influence?
Honestly, I don't use Twitter much anymore, aside from promoting my shows. I use my platform to kind of promote my stand-up shows, this, stuff like that. But really, just kind of sharing stuff I find funny. I try to not have an agenda, and it's just a way to kind of give back. If fans want to follow, you know, I just post dumb videos or like pictures of my dogs and stuff. So they get a, you know, if they're interested, get a kind of more inside look. It's a lazy way of doing a podcast, kind of.
Well, and it's awesome. It's a window into you as a real person. And I think that's
yeah,
really
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Again, about Asian roles in America, do you know, like, Asian roles in American cinema or TV, have you thought of any that you wish could be redone? Like, I don't know, Long Duk Dong in 16 Candles or, you know, roles that could have been done better?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sure, but I mean, we can't go back and do that. But at the same time, that also served as a lesson of what was done wrong back in the day and how far we've came from that. You know, you know what show I was watching that I absolutely loved? I was like, this show is more advanced than most shows on TV these days. It's a show with Arsenio Hall and Sammo and Kelly Hu called Martial Law. You remember that?
I
know. It was amazing. It was like the original like Rush Hour, and it was a TV show. I forget what channel it was on, and it was on rerun. I was in New Orleans for a buddy's wedding. I was on rerun like local TV, and it was amazing. I was like, there's two Asian leads, a man and a woman, and Arsenio is like a cool dude that was also, neither of them were sidekicks. Like, they're all just equal, and it's great, you know?
Wow.
They should bring that show back.
They should bring that show back, and you should be on it. How about that?
Ooh.
How about that?
I should play Kelly Hu's part.
Do you have a dream role, like, in mind for the future? Do you want to be, like, the next James Bond or something? The Asian James Bond?
I think Henry Golding is way ahead of me in line for that. I think if I can do just good stuff and be kind of impactful in certain things and decision making, like getting to a point where if I love a story I can make it, that would be amazing. And there's a lot of great, not just Asian American stories, but just great stories in general out there that some of them, you know, I'm out trying to get the rights for it so I can do it, stuff like that, and just trying to do it, man.
Are there roles that you wouldn't consider now in your career? I know there's people
a few. Yeah, I mean, it's case by case. It's not like this one, no way, you know. But there was just like a comedy thing where everybody was impersonating like a historical character. It's a great show. A good friend of mine was making it. And I was offered a role of Bruce Lee. And I was like, that's just hard for me to touch because he's such a legend. There's no way, like, there's no win in that. I'm like, look, I can help you with the script, make sure from my point of view, from the Asian representation point of view, that it's not going to be offensive and everything. I'll help you out even with the comedy if you want to throw in some like nuanced jokes in there. But I can't. I'm not going to touch that. You know, that's too legendary. And some people are okay with that, which is fine. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. For the Bay Area, our listeners here, I mean, there's a huge population of Asian Americans mm-hmm. here. And is there a message you'd like to give anyone right now who may be struggling with parents who aren't really happy yeah. with their career path? And I'm pretty thankful my parents were cool with me
really
a writer. They weren't pressuring me to be a nurse or anything like
writer
that.
Writer at least sounds more legit than like actor. You know,
well, I know you wrote, you know, how to be American, and you talk about your dad thinking you're crazy for going into comedy, right?
Yeah.
And how would somebody, you know, deal with their parents these days with that?
Do it. Step up. You know, it's fine to disappoint them. It's fine to rebel. It's cool, man. And but be respectful, and it hopefully it works out. If it doesn't work out, you can always go back to what you do. It's always better to have tried something, try to pursue your dreams and fail, than to have never tried at all. You know, so I always say, for me, my thought process was it was better to disappoint my parents for a couple of years than to disappoint myself for the rest of my life. You know, at least you owe that to yourself. We're in America, man.
We're in America. That's a really great way to like mic drop it. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Cool.
You are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you to Mari Carr Mendoza and Jimmy O. Yang. Our producer today is me, Peter Hartlob. Supervising producers are King Kaufman and Libby Coleman. Executive producer is Tim O'Rourke, and our editor-in-chief is Audrey Cooper. Our music is Mozart's Symphony 40 in G minor by Blue Dot Sessions. Read our columns and subscribe to The Chronicle at www.sfchronicle.com. Chronicle podcasts are on Apple Podcasts and other streaming services. Listen at www.sfchronicle.com/podcasts with an S.